The clerk will read the introduction.
Item 9 is a subdivision and rezoning for 924 Dorchester Avenue under file DASZ19 of 2008. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard at the same time, namely Item 10, an application for variance for 924 Dorchester Avenue under file DAV118517-2008D.
Okay, the applicant, Cameron Doby. If you could come forward, please. We will hear, in case people missed the introduction earlier, we will hear the applicant and anyone in support. Then we'll hear those in opposition, and then the applicant has an opportunity to come back and rebut anything that's been said by those in opposition. Right here. Thank you. So you can just
speak freely.
Speak freely, yes.
All right. Well, my name is Cameron Doby. Our company is Doby Properties Limited. We are a progressive development and construction company in the city. We concentrate on infill homes and residential infill condominium projects. We are looking to construct at 924 Dorchester some type of four-unit residential condominium. It'll be a LEED for Homes pilot project, loosely based on other LEED for Homes projects that we're currently working on in the city. The concept is to create green, sustainable living in the community, and we feel that this site located at Stafford in Dorchester is an ideal setting for that, considering the state of the existing home and the proximity to such a busy intersection such as Stafford Street. We feel that we choose our sites and speak with the planners and developers ahead of time very carefully to make sure that we feel that it's a site, and the city agrees it's a site that is compatible with their overall plan for the city. That is what we've found here. And if, we are obviously at the preliminary design stage, as you would all know, that first you acquire the land, and then you look at what you want to do with the land as far as the development is concerned, and then we come to do necessary zoning or variances accordingly. Some of the concerns you might hear are going to be regarding the nature of the design, and none of those things have really been set in stone. We were about 2 weeks ago approached by the community to sit down and go over some of their concerns. And that was one of the major ones that came up. And like I expected them at that time, and I'm sure you all know that it's, at this point, it's difficult to comment on the end design because it hasn't been set up, it hasn't been finalized. We're not going to go in, and we're not in a position to be able to pay architects and engineers to do a final design before the project is gone through this process, because depending on how this process goes, depends on what can actually be done on the site. That's just a reality. We came up with, after that was expressed to us, those were concerns, we, you know, very quickly, under our time restraints, came up with, let's pass these around, just some quick alternatives. I'm not sure. Oh, how many?
We need four.
Four? Yeah. And did email them to the contact from the neighborhood group that had that did approach us, and we tried to work as quickly as we could for them to understand the circumstances. And we did note that from the planner's report, they say that design is something that can be looked at after fact throughout the process before everything is completed, but I guess the design is not what we're here to discuss today. It's more the use of the land and what would be a satisfactory use of that piece of property, considering the state it's in at the moment.
Any questions?
Well, I'm wondering if you want to hear from our planner at what point they want we get that in properly?
I don't know. The comments go first. If you could just wait and ask those questions.
Sure.
Did you want to say anything about the report? Or?
Yeah, which, mentioning the design aspect of things?
It was put in the report.
Is that the BASED report where it talks about site design issues?
Yeah, that's what I interpreted at that point, because before final approval could happen.
It's dealing with very specific aspects of the design.
Okay.
There's nothing about
the actual look of the building.
Elevation.
Okay. So that there you're just referring to things like garbage enclosures, fences,
landscaping.
Yeah, things of that nature. Okay.
Sidewalks.
And obviously we'd be more than willing to comply with all, comply with all those issues.
I guess the only item that speaks to the building is the front entrance with some sort of design element to make
that,
it apparent.
That small common area there.
I guess I had a few questions.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, I think I'd spoken to you, Mr. Dobie, way back several months ago when I had one resident express concern about a particular aspect, and it was in a neighboring building, business, I should say, and they were just concerned about parking during construction and that sort of thing. But I believe I had asked you, or had suggested to you at the time, that you do public consultation in the neighborhood and have a meeting, get flyers out. Because I say that to every developer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if you had.
We had in this letter we put out to the neighbors in April.
Did you have a meeting to meet
with
them?
I did not. We submitted that, and as you go through it, it made it very obvious that if anybody has any questions, comments, concerns, please call us. Let us know. We'll discuss them at that point. And it was not until the 2 weeks prior to this meeting that we did get contacted. And at that point, we set up a meeting as soon as possible, and that was the Sunday following. And at that time, the concerns were brought to me, and these concerns you'll hear again. Like it was effort to try to work together, and in no way was anything confrontational or anybody not thinking rationally. It was just it just came down to more of a timing issue. Being contacted so soon before the meeting gave us really no time to prepare anything more than some of these changes that you've seen here. And
how many of these did you distribute and where?
We distributed those to the block of Dorchester. Between Stafford and Harrow, just the residents that would be affected immediately.
Only one block there?
I believe it was there. I can't quote specifically where everywhere else it was. And you might have other people here say that, yes, they did get that letter.
You mentioned in here you're looking at four units. Mm-hmm. But you didn't have a public meeting. I strongly recommend with other projects that have come up in the ward.
Mm-hmm.
And people show up that are concerned, and it's an opportunity to communicate and to find out what the current concerns are, if you can change something reasonably, etc., etc. So I'm sorry you didn't do that. I think that would have helped.
I think those concerns that did in the end come up and were noted to me, and I'm sure you'll hear them now, and I'll speak about them when my opportunity comes up. See that we're taking measures to address those, and also there are a lot of the concerns that were specifically addressed in the planner's report. And I give a lot of faith in the planners for our neighborhoods in the city. This is their job. This is what they do. I think that their opinion should be held in the highest regard. As a developer, I never go forth with an application without a planner's approval. We speak with the planners beforehand. It's a find out what makes sense before we even bother acquiring a piece of property, because if they look at something and say, well, no, that doesn't make sense there, that won't work there, we can never support that, and that's not in the city's overall goal for that neighborhood, then it's dead in the water.
Did you ever show planners things?
Things like
designs?
That?
I think initially you're looking at specs and...
Well, they're not looking at more than really site plans, because that's all that they can really concern themselves with, and that's all
why I recommend a public meeting, that you put out things like this where people can share their thoughts with you.
And the building that this is sort of loosely based on is 90% completed construction, and a lot of people that is made aware of in the letter, and they did get the opportunity to drive by. And we do have, if anybody has any questions, concerns, because we've done this before, and we've done the letters and everything else, and the calls come in, and we talk to people, and we deal with the issues that come at that point, but in this circumstance, we only end up getting, the only people that called us, the people that liked it, and until we had one phone call saying something who didn't like it, and at that point, we attempted to address everything as quickly as possible. Now they have their own constraints with timing as well. It's not an easy thing putting something like getting a group together. But in the end, you know, we thought we gave adequate time, being in April, sending out this letter and having the sign up, and then not receiving any calls and not receiving any feedback from the public except for positive. And that's one of the unfortunate things about this setting. You know, it's a tough position to be in. But the only people that come out are people that don't like it. The only people that do like it, you say.
I appreciate what you said, Joey. I'm just telling you.
Yeah,
that's what I advise every developer to do, and the letter is good, but it's not, in my opinion, enough. I don't think there's enough consultation without it. At least you have the opportunity of seeing and hearing opposition and doing something about it at that point.
Yeah.
And it's critical for you, I'm sure, with the building schedule.
Exactly, and that's what it comes to now as well, is scheduling. Because the way our company works differently than a few others is we don't operate with sub-trades. Everybody directly works for us, and there is...
Well, I can tell you there's a condo unit going up in Cordon where they had two Saturdays where they were at River Heights Community Club available. There's another one that was used at Crescentwood, I believe, but I certainly know about the River Heights one.
Mm-hmm.
Two different days. And some people came, some didn't. So then later on, there would be an opportunity to address some concerns. So I'm sorry you didn't do that. But that was a question I had.
Okay. Any other questions? One thing I was wondering, you said something about LEED.
Yeah. This is a LEED for Home project.
What does that mean exactly? Are you saying it's LEED standard?
Yeah, LEED for Homes is something that they're trying to establish now in Canada. We have to actually work through the U.S. Green Building Council. We're the only new construction LEED for Homes pilot project of the building this is based on being built on Horace is the first LEED for Homes new construction in the province. It's considered the greenest residential building in the province, in one of the greenest residential buildings in Canada.
So are you removing the existing house?
We are deconstructing the existing house. Recycling, we'll recycle at least 75% of it. We were able to recycle 75% of the last one. We deconstructed quite easily. It'll have features like geothermal heat, R50 exterior wall values, triple pane windows. It'll have low flow plumbing fixtures, energy efficient light fixtures. One of the requirements also is with transportation, proximity to public transportation. We're doing a variance here to only do 4 parking stalls when the requirement is 1.5 per dwelling unit, so 6 stalls. We're trying to do only 4 because we're trying to promote the use of other forms of transportation.
I believe they have to have 5 with their second.
Well, I think you're asking for variance.
I'm asking for variance. There's a variance in there before.
Oh,
and I think we have to have
6.
I think we have to have 6, actually. Isn't it 1.5 per dwelling unit?
Applying for approval of the parking management plan.
No, that's what's in there, is it not?
That's not a variance.
No, it's just a parking management plan.
I think that called the variance anyway.
Yeah, no.
What's the situation then
We haven't received the parking management plan yet.
No, you should have received it. I think we spoke with Lynn even today.
Oh, you submitted it to zoning permit?
Yeah. Okay. Lynn was the one who requested it from us.
So there's a pass there?
I haven't received it yet.
So, yeah.
But that's one of the conditions.
That's one of the conditions.
Approval.
They won't be able to get their permits unless they do that.
Yeah.
It's just for information purposes.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any other questions at this time? Okay, you'll have an opportunity to come back after. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak in support of this application? Hearing none. Those in opposition, I'll call your name and you can come forward or you can speak or you can simply say you wish to be recorded, whatever you like. Duncan Jacob? Oh, he left, so we'll record him in opposition. Fred Curry?
I discovered that it was cheaper to have the colored photographs on fewer rather than more pages, so I took them out of the text and inserted them at the end of the pages. And I found today, actually a few days ago, I spoke to the fellow at 1147 Cordon who's actually building a single family house, a big one, on Cordon Avenue. So I took the page from the city's website and attached that as the last page. I've lived at 997 Dorchester for 47 years. I'm not opposed in principle to the change.
Where did you live before?
close to Keniston for about 10 years before that. I spent my whole life crossing busy streets when I was small and getting older. I'm not opposed in principle simply because condo conversions are one way of rehabilitating homes that have really no other option. There actually have been a couple on our side of Stafford, none recently, in the immediate neighborhood. I think demolition should be a last option, and I'm not familiar with the condition of this building, so I'm prepared to accept whatever the assessment has been. I don't know. I haven't been in it, and I'm not qualified structurally to make that kind of an assessment. The R1 zoning, the change from R1 zoning, isn't something that happens very often. And the claim that's often made when I've heard applications in the area, on Academy, on Stafford, on Cordon, is the house is unlivable because of the traffic. But there are houses all over the area that live on these busy streets, that flank on the busy streets. They are livable. And the fellow at 1147 Cordon is building a 2,500 square foot house that he plans to live in with his family. So it's not out of question that someone could build for single family use. However, I understand the dynamics of the market. You're getting closer to more intense use here, and that drives the land cost up, and you need a bit more revenue to be able to make ends meet. I do want to point out on pages 3 and 4, on page 3 at the top, this is the building immediately across from the particular site. That was its zone C2. It was supposed to be the Pan Am Clinic. I think Councillor Westbury might have done it, but it might have been Councillor McDonald. And that fell through. It went up and became the Pan Am Clinic. And as it happened at that time, the zoning laws allowed for construction of condominiums in that zoning. If you don't have a copy of the zoning agreement on that property, you should get one and read it. Sudesh Trion wrote it. It's very interesting the way it's worded. It's airtight. In order, I think, to exercise any commercial rights on that particular piece of property, you have to buy all the condos. And the people that have lived in there, I think they've only been for sale about once or twice of the four of them in the 20 years that they've been there. People are very happy there. But I noticed that the appearance, and this isn't my most popular looking building in the neighborhood, residential building, but it's compared to the proposal that's been made, it's very attractive.
With which one? I'm sorry, Brad.
This is on page 3.
I know, but which one?
On the top.
On the top of the page 3, yeah. That's right across Stafford.
Right.
And the one on the bottom of page 3 is next door to it, and it's zoned for multifamily. It's RMF zoning. I think there's probably been a problem with the construction because they haven't been working there for a while. But I'm assuming that there's going to be three in there. That'll be condominiums. On page four, the top one is the middle of the block. That's 885. That's on the north side and about the middle of the block. It's zoned R2, but it's got about 4,000 square feet, I think. So there's probably at least three units in there. And I don't know whether they're rental or condominiums. But it's been redeveloped extensively over a period of a couple of years. And the one on the bottom of page four is on the corner of the same side as the two houses on page three. That was redone. It's actually got three separate addresses, so it's pretty hard to track it down. But it's three condominiums in there, too.
Judging by the yellow fence, that's an Ernie Walters.
That is an Ernie Walters. So these are all redos or retrofits of existing buildings that are far more attractive than the proposal that was made. And I wouldn't mind having any of the three beside me. I'd be a little bit dubious about the fourth one, the one that's right on the corner of Stafford, right across the street, that gray one. It's a pretty homely building, but it's much preferable to the one that's proposed, which I think is just downright ugly. But this one is nicely, I mean, it's been there for long enough that it's treed and it's landscaped, and you can't really see any of the homely characteristics of it. But it's nicer than the proposal. I'm quite in favor, prepared to support green or ecological, but if they're raising this house, it's going into the landfill. That doesn't seem to me to be very ecologically friendly. So, I mean, there's one thing to build a place that's ecologically friendly, but all that stuff's going to be wind up dumped somewhere. So it seems to me there's trades and balances there.
Yeah, recycling.
He claims that they were going to recycle about 75% of it. Does that seem,
that would be excellent.
Would that be something you'd be happy about, or is that
subject to the other concerns I have? I mean,
yeah,
that's
sure.
A little
no,
bit
on
further,
that one
further
concern.
Down the list. Okay. There are going to be other applications in this immediate area. If you haven't heard about them already, I know that there's stuff cooking on over on the next block in McMillan. There's other houses in this area that have been tough to sell. I think somebody here might address some of those issues. But there will be a precedent of sorts, even though we're doing this by spot zoning, that's sort of the way we do things in Winnipeg. There will be a precedent of sorts set for the area for potential redevelopment. I think that with the appearance of this particular building, that would be a bad precedent to set. The zoning is an issue all by itself, right? So there are concerns about the zoning. First preference would be for single family, but if we're going to rezone it for something, let's have it for something that fits into the neighborhood that looks nice.
What do you think that is, Fred?
Well, something certainly.
How many units? And
oh,
how
I don't.
Many families
the
or one,
four.
Two?
I don't mind four, three. These other ones are three. That's fine, right? But if it has to be four, and if you're doing a complete demolition and a rebuild, rebuilding for four makes sense as opposed to if you're doing a retrofit. Looks like three would be a better deal for a retrofit. Again, and I'm not familiar with the physical condition of the building.
So it sounds like you're not particularly concerned about the density.
At that location,
it's more
with four,
the appearance. That's your primary concern.
At that location with four, it's not a big deal. Prefer fewer.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but the issue you're saying isn't so much the density, though, because you're saying you might prefer three, but you can live with four. But the issue is the appearance. I'm just trying to get at what the problem with the appearance is. Like, is this the appearance you're going on there? Or what do you?
I've
were
seen
you something, seeing something
I've seen,
else?
I've seen several buildings that look like that. Yeah.
But they look like this.
It looks like a bunker. Yeah.
Okay. I just wasn't quite sure what you'd even seen.
I'd like gables if possible. I mean, I don't mind the stucco. The other building across, the four across the way, has stucco and a gable on it. Actually, more than one gable. Just something to make it look a little bit more like a house in the neighborhood. We have buildings that look like that. They're banks.
But that's your primary concern, is that it blends in with the neighborhood
like
in terms of the appearance a little more. You feel
yeah.
It really sticks out.
The other issues aren't unimportant. I'm not diminishing the density and the rezoning, but I think if you're going to do that, if you're of a mind to do that in this location, certainly something that's a better appearance. I also have concerns about other uses on the list, the principal uses under RMF. Those wouldn't be particularly compatible with the neighborhood. So if you're doing a zoning agreement, it would be nice if we substituted, say, the R2, other principal uses and accessory uses and whatnot, so that it could be more in keeping with the existing engine. And if you're convinced, and I don't know, I haven't heard my neighbors, right, and I live two blocks away. I'm not going to be burdened the same way my neighbors are, and I'm quite happy to defer to whatever they're going to have to say to you. But if it turns out that you're of a mind that maybe this wouldn't be a bad thing, changing density and whatnot, and you're also convinced that this particular proposal, the appearance of the particular proposal, is unacceptable, you like something that looks a little bit more like it fits into the neighborhood, I certainly wouldn't mind a layover. Wouldn't mind a layover. I'm prepared to come back again and speak about this issue.
It would be September 1st.
Yeah, if there's something that can be worked out, I'll have no problem coming back.
Okay. Are there any other questions of Fred? Thank you, Fred.
Thank you, Fred.
All right, next we've got historical.
And historical, yeah.
Sylvia DeSousa? D'Souza, I'm sorry, do you wish to speak?
I do. I normally don't say this, but I'm going to let my husband go first.
Wow.
And add something.
Okay.
My name
so, and
John
what is.
Rocco.
John, I think I should know that. John, we'll put you in first.
John's
that's
very
unusual.
That's why she's doing that.
Because usually it's a matriarchal.
For me, I usually have birthdays.
I thought it was a matriarchal family, but okay.
I'm all confused. I have some letters from my neighbors. I'll give it to the clerk. And then I have this sort of three copies of my
package.
Oh,
wonderful. There's the neighbors. Okay, so this is for the neighbors. And
most
the president.
Most popular there, just three of those.
Let's just take a seat. I'm just
going to finish
this one.
This line is
phenomenal. Well, that's so impressive. You were eating it for a
reason. Yeah. We had fun. All right, thank you so much for your time tonight. It's a beautiful Monday night. I'll tell you, I'm representing myself here and only my views. However, my views have been shaped a lot by quite an interesting journey of meeting my neighbors through this event. It started a while back when we saw the billboard go up on our block, and then quickly, well, it also coincided with spring, so the rejoining of the neighborhood after the long winter, and then the billboard going up, and then the letter coming out. So, which was, I agree with Councillor Leipzig, was unfortunate because it put us in a very, in my opinion, a confrontational position. We thought the building was done. That was it. The picture's up. That's what we're going to have to face with. So there wasn't a lot of love in the room to start going out of our way to meet with a developer until we had our own kind of position or being able to bet together by ourselves. And a lot of a lot of new families are on the block. So a lot of people weren't sure of who's who yet even or what positions, if any, we would have. So again, I do thank Dobie and the rest of the community that went on this little adventure with us. We had some great wine, we had some good chats, and I think we became an even stronger neighborhood through this exercise, which is the reason why we're all here tonight, because we want to keep our neighborhood the way it is. Again, we're not talking, in a sense, no change. We're living in change. We moved to that area because we knew there would be commercial. We have a new, I think it's called Lilac Bakery, opening up down in Grosvenor Square, which we're all quite excited about. Now, instead of walking three blocks to Bread and Circus, I only have to walk one block to the girls. So, and we have Spontino's restaurant doing wonderful. My hair is dissipating, so we do have a mental clinic just down the way from me now that I can get my hair transplant back in one day. So there's some great amenities, and that's why we moved there. Nice walks to Cordon, and we love that area. I love it because I get the best of both worlds. I get single family homes, stately homes that are constant building projects. That we all sit around, you know, do the old King of the Hill routine on the corner and talk about our building projects with each other and how horrible it all is. But again, that's what the wonderful part is. We also have our kids all playing together, so we quite enjoy it. So again, it has been a good process in that regard. I do oppose the rezoning for a couple of reasons. One is that the building is just way too large for the space. Not only is it ugly, but we're not here to talk about the design aspects of the building. I agree the building looks like a commercial. It's like an eyesore in the block. But it's just too, regardless, even if it was designed with a little nicer as they tried, the bottom line is he wants to have four units with four parking spots. And those are the deal breakers when we had a meeting with him. He needs four units, four parking spots, because that's what the design he has, Dobie Properties has. It's a cookie cutter design from Hoka, and it is plopping an equal four. You can call it what you want, but it cuts down architectural costs, cuts down design costs, if you can just plop down the same building and infills. And that's fine. And I'm sure it actually does work in some neighborhoods. It doesn't work in our neighborhood. I think the value of the land, the value of the homes around it, and the community around it would ask for something with a little more care to reflect our neighborhood. If it's not, again, we're not talking about the design, because that's not part of this permit, but the fact that it takes over the whole block. Now, the whole lot. I do respectfully don't agree with the developer, or the planner, in regards to the Stafford corridor of this part of the 2020 plan. I don't believe this house is part of Stafford. This house is part of Dorchester. So even though that Stafford is going to be is a regional street that will be increasing the volume of traffic, as we've been told, I've been told it will happen in the future, the house doesn't enter onto Stafford. It enters onto Dorchester, because it's a Dorchester house, the Dorchester address. So I don't agree with that having a barrier or a wall, which I've been told blocks the help us block the sound and insulate us from the Stafford corridor.
Does it actually refer to a Stafford corridor?
It's the name that we were told. It's part of the regional street of the Plan 2020.
We'll
call it a high density street. I'm not sure what the proper term
is. I don't know about that. I know that Public Works wants a yard depth of 7 feet along there for future widening.
Yeah, I looked at the map today and had a big blue line.
Planning property and development doesn't do anything pertaining to that, except we support their 7-foot side yard requirement.
Yes. Which I guess you probably do have to work together in a degree.
Nothing about a corridor.
Well,
from the planner's report.
Okay.
But if you look at the plan Winnipeg 2020, I've been told that that's the reason why they wanted to set back to the 7 feet, was because they need to have Stafford potentially expanded. That's what I was told.
Yeah.
Is that Plan Winnipeg or Trans
Plan Winnipeg? 2020.
Trans Plan 2020, which was never adopted by council.
Well, justification. Yeah,
okay.
But again, that's what we've heard about the barrier, and that's justification for having this.
Wouldn't
thing
be
wall.
Plan Winnipeg, that's all.
Okay.
It's Transplan 2020, which wants to widen every road
reports.
We have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I'll leave that battle with you.
Leave
then.
That with me.
That is affecting us.
That
now.
Is a fact, though, that it has to be 7 feet.
7 foot
yes.
Lab yard because of that?
Yeah, Public Works, all the yards are on Stafford in that area, 7 feet.
Okay.
So that's why the variance B is whatever.
Sorry.
The rejection of the construction multiple, blah, blah, blah. Instead of 4 feet, we need 7. They're rejecting that one, I believe.
That's
right?
Fine.
Yeah.
So the proposed building would not
it'd
be
narrow.
Be cut. Or could it be
yeah.
moved?
Well, there's no room on the other side.
No.
They're already
okay.
pressed
so
up.
So it has to be cut.
Dobie's going to have to lose some square footage, yeah.
Okay.
If this does go through today. So regardless, even that, you'll see that there is not a lot of room to move that building around because it takes up the whole lot. Except their frontage. You did okay with the frontage. They have a 2-foot variance. We're not complaining about that. But the fact that when I'm in my backyard, I'm looking at a stucco wall from now on. That's what I'll see on that side of the street. Again, it's not very conducive to a community. Again, we talked about three houses down. Yeah, there's one neighbor here, two houses down. So the commercial, and it does look commercial, but again, I know the design is... I'm hoping with the planner, or there are some caveats I saw in the variance that will allow some kind of influence. But again, it's only talking about the planner will have the ability at the front area and to look at, say, you got to do some nicer stuff here. But the building design itself is going to be what it is. And that's what we believe will happen. I haven't heard anything other. Dobie's very clear on it, that that's their design. They can do a couple of little modifications, but that's it. And I respect that. I just don't like it. So you'll see that on page 2, which I didn't label, I'm sorry. But you'll see how the houses appear now, and then it's a hard picture, but that's what they're saying it'll look like. We're not taking that. Number 2 reason is safety concerns associated with the parking. We've talked a little bit about that they're going for this eco thing with 4 parking spots. Sure, if they have a caveat that they won't sell to anybody unless they only ever have one car, that'd be fine, but they're not going to do that. They're going to have to sell these properties for $360,000, which would mean you're looking at upper mobile young adults who have cars. So where are those extra cars going to come go? They're going to have to go on the front street. And not only that one car, there'll be guests who will also be coming up. So we're expecting between extra six cars. Now this is coupled with the fact that, as we talked about, these great restaurants opening up and the yoga studio doing very well in Grosvenor Square, that's ending up having a lot of parking on our street already. So this will be only, and we're okay with that. We said we accept that there's going to be a little bit of give and take with having living close to an urban environment in the heart of it. But again, there always has to be a balance, and that's what we're here today talking about. There needs to be a balance, and I believe this project will tip the balance the wrong way, a little too far. So again, it's the parking. I think the bylaw does state six. I believe it shouldn't be going under a PMP, whatever that thing is, because there is no public discussion on that. They're project management plan.
Oh,
so
parking
management plan. I have no idea why it's going through that model rather than should be here in front of us, so we can say we completely object to the idea. It seems a little more open because it's a huge issue. I don't know what very many buildings out there. I know people who have apartment blocks and have tried to get extra spaces, but they're not allowed to do anything until they have that parking attachment to it. It's like, but now this seems to be out of the loop for some reason. I thought it was a sacred thing that parking is very important, the number of units you have. And if you call it green, it's nice and all, but that doesn't count. And I can call myself green and still drive my Yukon, you know, that I recycle once in a while. Does that make me green? Well, not really.
Just but because you're green in the face doesn't make you green.
That's right. So four lots doesn't work. So I would, you know, prefer to see six or less units, obviously. So again, the safety issue, I mentioned before, we have on page three, we have lots of little people running around our block now. I think there's about seven kids under the age of eight on our block, and they seem to congregate in people's homes at will. And again, we're not all on the same side of the street. We bounce back and forth on across the street. Again, we understand there's increased traffic already by the Waverly West, a couple of things happening. But again, this would cause a lot more traffic and be a little more dangerous. So again, the planner states that there isn't a safety issue, so this should go through. I disagree. I see definitely with the forced parking spots a serious safety issue that will arise on our block.
Could I interrupt while you're at parking, John, for a second? Yeah. I just want to clarify this because I'm getting confused here. I'm hearing six parking spots?
That's what the bylaw requires. It could have been applied as a variance. Apply for a variance from six to what they want. They intend to supply us four. Or, as for the new bylaw, which took effect March 1st, they can come up with a parking management plan that shows that there's an alternative to on-site parking for the two stalls that they would be.
Where they rent or somewhere else? Like
That's, and we haven't heard it, we're not as familiar with it because it's from the new zoning bylaw. So before, you know, instead of just, before they probably would have just asked for a variance for four. Now we can say you could, a variance for four, but if you arrange a couple of other stalls. So if they come up with a satisfactory thing,
right,
then that would address that concern.
The commercial one across the street to have it. We haven't been informed that. We've been told there'll be four stalls, and that's the only thing we've heard. So that's why if they mentioned that to us before, that may be, I have no idea where. Lionel's has no spots there, and then there's a care home, which raises the second issue that all these spots are going to be backing up in the same corner. You got a clothing store, an accounting store, and then you got a care home, and then you have this new potential four units. They're all exactly in the same back lane, and then Stafford is right there. Well, I don't know about you, but if I'm living in that apartment, that condo, I'm not parking in the back. It'll take me forever to wait till everybody gets out of there and back and forth. If I'm coming home for the day, I'm going to park in the front street. Because I have doors on both sides of the building. So why not?
I'd just like to add the parking management plan, yes, you're correct. It's not a public process.
But it is just something, just to be aware of this, you probably weren't, but that is something that's being recommended as the parking management plan. But what would that be for the two other stalls?
Yeah.
So that they would, if this were approved,
right,
they would have to come up with two other stalls before they could.
Yeah. So So that's the parking lot.
That's one issue, but now you're talking about a different aspect in terms of the safety of the cars and the, where they're going to park.
So the parking lot plan would have the two additional somewhere.
Somewhere, they'd have to come up with, That's kind of a new concept for us.
Great. So the congestion, the safety issues, that's about it for the parking issues. The last one is the basic bottom line is that moving us from an R1 neighborhood to an RMF is a pretty big jump. I don't care what side of Stafford Street you're on for us. We are on the west side of Stafford, which is an R1 zone, and the other side of Stafford is an R2 plus zone. And it's so the planner was looking at the area, which we disagree with. He's looking at both sides of the street. Well, we're actually a border that breaks that skew from coming all the way down. And I lived on Walnut and Woolsey. I was a border there, some other areas. So you have this fight where it's like, oh, you're all part of the team. You're all in this. If I'm looking at you this way, you're all part of the same group. But I'm still looking at it as Dorchester. So we are, that is the on the borderline of an R1. So I believe moving to an RMF will have a precedent setting issue for our block. It will, there's a block, the house across the street that would quickly is waiting, I believe in waiting to become rezoned.
The corner one.
The other side, on the other side of our block, so we have the same problem. And then on...
Right opposite.
Right opposite the Dobie one.
That's the one where they changed the for sale sign.
Yeah. Because
they said, commercial being rezoned, and I
They had put up a sign that said commercial opportunity when it was zoned residential.
Yeah, that didn't go over. That got our
ears. Got Fred Curry emailing us immediately.
Yes, but they had a much better realtor at the end, and they have sold it to someone else.
But it is sold.
It is sold now.
And what's going to go on there now?
They're waiting to see what's going to happen here.
No.
Okay. And then there's another one on McMillan as well that is being kind of waiting to see what's going to happen with this. So, again, I'm not sure what this committee's role is in that, but it has to be. We know it will happen that this will set a precedent at a very high density from a very low density. So this will creep. Will it come down our block? Well, we're being told no. But we're also told that I've also heard stories about that, that Lion Eddy will be an exception. They won't use that as a precedent setting. Well, I will have said then, well, this is today. And it's being used now as a precedent for the rest of the block. So we do respect the fact that we are a border. And we do respect the fact that this will set a precedent, and it will further erode the R1 zoning that the neighborhood we have. So that's about it. There is, we're not an awful neighbors. We've been trying to be very we can be awful. Depends what side of the coin you're on. But since I'm with my neighbors, we're very good people. And so we're willing to work with the group. With different developers and people, and we're not totally anti any change. However, I do believe that RMF zoning and 4 units is just too much. I would be okay with something. This is only my opinion. Some of my neighbors aren't keen on this at all. They've attacked me a little bit on it. They respect me, but they don't agree with my belief that 3 units would be okay.
You'd accept 3 units?
You know, if I had to, it'd be better than 4, because then they get the problem parking. They get their 5 units, the lot be smaller enough for them, the building be smaller enough for them on square footage that they could actually fit the parking in there properly. And that's, so I could be a little bit better off on that. But also the R2 zoning. I wouldn't be interested in RMS zoning. R2 zoning at 3 units, maybe I could handle a bit better. Again, depends on the design. If it's going to be that same commercial design, then I'd still have a really hard time accepting it. If it was something that matched our neighborhood a little bit better, then, you know, again, development does move on. The planner does obviously have a vision. City has a vision, maybe. And so our job is just to point our concerns out. And hopefully from there, we'll see where you guys go. So I guess my question for you, your group next, would be, what is the next step? Or my first question is, am I allowed to ask questions?
What are you asking? You're asking what the next step after step
tonight? Like, tonight you rule tonight, and we go, like, or should we wait?
Well, it depends on how we rule. We can make a decision tonight. Rezonings are not appealable.
Right.
So the other things like variances are, but if the rezoning were to proceed, it would proceed. But there's various
options.
I don't know
you.
What the choice is going to be at this point. We're going to hear it. So we will make sure you know what the process is.
Do you have any questions for me?
Any questions, anybody, at this point?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Now, your better half.
Oh, I'm showing my face.
my husband said.
But no.
I do. My big concern is the conversion from a low density to a high density. I don't agree that we should be going from an R1 to an RMF. I would be okay with an R2, and John's gone into all of that argument, and I agree with him on that. I just point out that under the Winnipeg Charter, there's Section 247, Sub 3, states, an application for a variance with respect to a property may be approved if the variance, and there's four criteria, I point out one criteria, if the variance is the minimum modification of a zoning bylaw required to relieve the injurious effect of the zoning bylaw on the applicant's property. So my position is an RMF would be injurious, and that minimum modification would be going to an R2. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
No.
Thank you,
Sylvia.
Zoe Nugent, do you wish to speak?
I just wanted to say, well, I agree with everything.
Well, maybe just come
people
up.
People have said.
If you will, even if you're just going to say something short.
I am also concerned about going to very high density. I think R2 probably is quite reasonable for this. I'm very worried about parking. I'm very worried about having a large skip for garbage for a four unit. And I will disagree with one thing you said. This is not an ugly building. It's too bland to be ugly. I like ugly houses. I own an ugly house. This building is a bland box. And it's being dropped into a community with some very nice architecture, some mind-bogglingly ugly architecture, but at least it's interesting. And it's things that people are willing to buy and willing to maintain and willing to put money into. And I don't see that this building is. I'm also quite worried, modern building. There were 2 firemen killed last year. Very modern, very green building with one of these suspended one-piece floors. And when it caught fire, it came down in a water and crushed 2 people. There's firemen in my family. I don't want to be living near a house with one of these very modern buildings with one of these one-piece floors that are deadly.
Thank you. Can you clarify with R2 zoning how many... Is that 2 dwellings?
Yeah, 1 and 2 family are permitted. Anything above that is conditional.
And R2 would give you a maximum of 4, but no more than 4.
No, R2 would be 2.
With variance.
With a, did you say a variance?
No, it's conditional.
A conditional use to have more than 2?
To have more than 2.
If it was
R2.
I just wanted to clarify that.
And I'm okay with that.
Okay. Frederick Pollock?
Yeah.
Would you wish to come?
I'm a real estate agent with Century 21, and I've been with Century 21 for 17 years now. And for all of that, I've lived in Crescent Wood on Dorchester at 944. I'm right in the middle of the block, so it doesn't affect me quite as much as somebody that might be at the second or third house. But still, I feel for everybody in the whole block. I have no problem with a developer like Dobie coming in and doing something in the neighborhood. I mean, these things are inevitable. These properties, over time, do diminish, and they have to be repaired and replaced or retrofitted and so on and so forth. What I'd also like, one of the things I'd like to point out is I feel because of density issues and that, I feel that definitely an architecturally friendly 3-unit complex would be much more suitable for the complex as opposed to 4-unit. And it gets into issues with height, like height and squareness, and I just feel that something that's 3 units, it gives an architect a better chance to make more, not contemporary, but more character, add more character to the unit. And one of the things I'm going to cite is on the north side of Dorchester, on the north side of Dorchester, about 5 or 6 houses east of Stafford, Sharon and E.J. Weems Hebert have a place that was highlighted in the magazine a couple of weeks ago, and I think we all got that magazine probably in Crescentwood, but it's phenomenal. There's about 6 pages on that 3-unit condominium complex there. It was an old building that was taken and they added to it, and you know, realistically, it's probably one of the finest pieces of work I've I've seen in art area, a lot different than what we see with Walter Corporation doing there. And somebody made inference to, you know, his colors and that. And his colors have a lot to be desired. But I feel that we should all actually take a ride by Sharon and E.J. Weins-Hebert's place. I'm not going to be the real estate listing that property. He's living in the lower unit right now, and I think the other two will come up for sale. But he did an incredible job, and it's got a lot of character and pretty high square footage. So he was able to come up, or his architect was able to come up with a fantastic yeah. plan. Yeah, that there.
The house next door to me is that one of the former houses.
Okay,
they've
got a picture.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And
it's on page four, the top of page four. That's
85
Dorchester.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of square footage. I mean, he can sell, you know, one of the things we have to remember is with a developer, like he buys this property, pays so much for it. Of course, you've got to try and maximize and put as much as he can on the spot.
Sure.
It's a money issue for them. And I have no problems with that. It's a capitalist society here we live in. But I think it's much better to look at, you know, there's economies of scale in that, but I think it's much better to put yourself in our shoes, because we really, we're concerned about the neighborhood and the way it goes, and we're not different than the people on the east side of Stafford. I mean, we have two arms and two legs and a head. But we are also a buffer. We're in between, we're sort of that buffer zone to Cambridge, that whole square in there. We're not really Crescentwood. We all believe we're Crescentwood, you know, but it is Crescentwood. But we have a lot of heart here, and we like to see the right stuff going in the neighborhood. I have a problem with the building itself. I think it's butt ugly. And this green stuff too. It's nice to be that way, but I think, you know, sometimes it can give a little, you know, like, you know, get off that a little bit and look at how is the building going to look, and maybe it won't be quite as green, but I just think it's important to sort of keep in the neighborhood and try not to upset neighbors so much. I know a lot of neighbors are really upset, but I'm not too upset with this developer. He seems like a nice chap and all, but if we have to stop something, like this is quite a leap to go that type of zoning, and I know it's like when you go for price increases when you have rental properties, you always go higher and then you get something down here. Maybe that's the case here, but I hope that you folks listen to what I have to say, because it's a really nice neighborhood, and I'd like to see it stay that way. And you know, that's all I got to say. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Just no questions. Okay, Christy Wendels, did you wish to speak?
Just very briefly. I actually live on 900 Grosvenor, so the other side of Stafford. And actually, I'm not overly concerned about the density issue, but I am very concerned about the design. It is atrocious. It's really downright ugly. And it's in the neighborhood. I'm concerned about the way it looks, primarily.
Okay, thank you. Eleanor Bond.
Okay. I'll try to be brief. I live at 957 Dorchester, so in the same block, but closer to just two blocks, two houses off Harrow. I'd like to just mention a bit about the block for those who aren't familiar with it. There are only 20 houses on the block. It's quite a short distance between Stafford and Harrow, so anything that happens, I think, has a kind of proportionally quite a significant impact on how the street reads and sort of the issues, whether it's parking or anything else, how that is magnified by this nature. It's quite a unique street. Architecturally, I would probably agree with the sort of some of the things that have been spoken of earlier. There is a great deal of mass to all the buildings on the street, apart from the house that had to be rebuilt because of a fire. I mean, everything is pretty much of the same age. I'm not opposed to sort of contemporary buildings. There are a few very modern houses, one on Grosvenor, which was an infill house, which is a fantastic house, an architect designed an old house, as well as David Penner's house on the corner of Stafford and Yale, which is also a very, I mean, it's kind of a very significant addition and a fantastic addition to the neighborhood. So it's not even that I think it should sort of try to emulate buildings of a century ago, but that it should have that it should take into consideration elevation. It shouldn't be a grade, but as all the other street houses on the street should have should sort of stand somewhat in the same way and have sort of the weight. I did visit another Eco4 house on Horace Street in St. Boniface, again the same Eco4 cookie cutter design, which fits much better into an infill situation in the middle of a block. This design does not take into consideration this very, very hot corner with a lot of traffic flow. And just to speak, maybe just to confer about the condo and the buildings on the east corners of Dorchester and Stafford, which do have a kind of weight and a mass and a use of materials, even though like quite contemporary constructions, they are more in keeping. Again, I would question the big shift in zoning. I've lived on the street for 16 years, and it's been remarkable the shift from many duplexes into single-family homes. Just around me, there are four houses that have converted from duplexes to single-family homes. And when I was first on the street, it was rare to see a child, but now there are children, again, surrounding me both sides and across. So the nature of the street has shifted very much in a very positive way, and I worry about the fragility of what we have if these things aren't really carefully considered architecturally and in terms of zoning and parking.
Thank you. Don Cordage?
I have written up some text here, I guess. Of course, nobody's seen yet. So, we live at 932 Dorchester Avenue, which is two doors down from the property in question. And I think that I'll sort of not going to rehash too much of what's already been said, maybe I'll try and introduce some new points. I'm going to give my perspective on this both as a resident, a long-term resident of Dorchester, actually about 28 years, and as well as a professional architect who's practiced in the city of Winnipeg for approximately 27 years. And who also practices, is doing LEED projects. Our firm is a member of the Canada Green Building Council. I guess just to touch base using this format of the paper that I've just handed out, I think John Orlico and others have spoken quite eloquently to all of our concerns. One that I think is not necessarily come up here is a technical issue, and that is what's called floor area ratio. The planner may know about this, but essentially the floor area ratio is the amount of house square footage that is placed onto a piece of property. I believe that using our house as an example, that ratio, if you take all the square footage, is about 1 to 3. Our house is about 2,000 square feet. The property is about 6,000 square feet. And so we have this 1 to 3 ratio. I think that if I understand the zoning application, that would allow that floor area ratio to essentially be inverted, which would create a house that is probably 3 times the actual square footage of the property. Mistaken, because it particularly given the variances, none of the houses on Dorchester actually take advantage of the front yard setback. They're all farther back and make more room than the front yard setback. So I think that the zoning application itself, the way it's couched, will actually provide the opportunity for a significant change in the massing that is allowed in the area. Number one, technically by the zoning bylaws, but by number two, by what is actually taking place on the street itself. So So the other thing that just as some information that has just come out here tonight, like everyone else, I always considered that this was a discussion about four parking stalls. I think that the four parking stalls is probably based on a 4-foot setback. But you're telling me that the setback will only be 7 feet. It won't be that variance will be denied. So I do believe that they will not get four stalls on this property. I think they'll only get, if you don't give them the 4-foot setback, keep it at 7, then you've diminished the width of the yard by that additional 4 feet. I don't think you'll get four cars there.
They could put it in the yard as an encroachment into the yard.
So it doubles up somehow. It's not 1, 2, 3, they have to do something else. Yeah, well, so this is all part of this parking management plan?
Not that, no.
Well, I think the discussion about four parking stalls is questionable because I don't think there's room for that other than some other manipulation of the site planning. The second point here, I think that in the question of moving from an R1 to RMF, there have been, in previous applications for rezoning in the neighborhood, the two most recent ones relate to the tailor shop across the alley from the proposed development and the group home that is right next door to that. I understand that these two now may have been offered as precedents, that there are deviations from the R1 zoning. Unfortunately, when that kind of a zoning variation is offered or change is offered, it only goes down as a classification on a site plan in the city's office. It really doesn't take into consideration what has actually happened. Those two properties both, again, have reflected, for the most part, the floor area ratio. One of the houses is exactly the same that it was already existing there, and the new group home essentially took on a residential look. So they've got a setback in the front yard that is probably 20 feet, both of them do, and they would have a backyard and green space at the back, other than they've been allowed to turn that into pavement for parking. But in general terms, the scale of those two properties is the same as the rest of the neighborhood, despite the fact that they are variances from the R1 zoning. So to offer those as a precedent for a deviation from R1 without actually recognizing what has actually happened on site, I think is a bit of an error, because now we're talking about something that is completely different in terms of its presence on the street. There is a discussion here about some greening or this being a LEED project. It's pretty interesting to me that we are prepared to, in terms of getting LEED points, you get a point for increasing the density, and I think that that's what this is all about. Unfortunately, they will not be getting the points for preservation of green space. This development, what it wants to do is increase mass on a site and decrease the amount of available green space. And it does that by reducing the available green space in the front yard to a relatively insignificant, probably, I guess it's 8 meters, I think it is, and no backyard space. It'll be asphalt. And no side, well, now we might have 7 feet of side yard, which you're going to put there, I'm not sure. In terms of the discussion about, I guess, just over the page, and then I go on to talk about, I think John has mentioned and others have mentioned possibility of 3. I'm not quite as generous with my desires there. And I think, actually, the reference to David Penner is pretty interesting. That's a single-family dwelling. It's right on the corner of Stafford and McMillan, or Yale, I guess it is. And it's, I don't know, maybe not even 10 years old. And there are other, on staff, but there are other single-family dwellings that have been retained and fixed up, and new ones being developed farther down the street, I believe, to the south. As I say, we've been there for, I think, 27 years, 28 years, and there are more children in our block today than there were 10 years ago. This is a desirable neighborhood for families who want to raise their children on safe streets and with yards for them to play in. Over time, the traffic on Stafford and Dorchester has continually increased. This proposed development would continue that trend and would have the spillover effect of additional parking and more traffic on our once quiet street. Now when you come out of the lane between McMillan and Dorchester, it is next to impossible to make a left-hand turn on Stafford because of the traffic. So you might be able to intermittently make a right-hand turn to go with the flow. So what happens now is with the Leonetti Taylor shop, which has got four stalls, and the group home, which has got four stalls, and proposed three or four stalls, that are with this one, is a cluster of approximately 12 vehicles at Stafford. All of those cars, or for the most part, will go all the way down the alley to Harrow. That's what we do. I never turn onto Stafford. I go down to Harrow, whether I'm going left or right, because I don't like sitting there waiting for the traffic to clear on Stafford. And I would never consider making a left-hand turn on a Stafford. That's something in terms of these developments, we occupy the third house in the corner of Stafford and are definitely negatively affected by Leonetti's and the group home and the recently converted rental duplex located next door to us, which is an R1, which now has, by some odd reason, become a duplex, and there's also three stalls behind it. So we would have roughly 15 cars going all the way down the alley. As I look out on the street, just as I was writing this, the first three cars off the corner of Stafford and Dorchester do not belong to people that live in this neighborhood. 5 o'clock, they're all gone. So there's an ever-increasing amount of parking in front of our street, and there's times when if I did want to park on the street, I wouldn't even be able to find a parking stall. So this issue of parking is important, and I do not agree with the idea that it should not be available for public discussion, and particularly in a residential neighborhood. And what will be the impact of taking what was once a single-family dwelling, which is what it has always been, and quadrupling that occupancy for families with limited parking? It will be more cars parked and moving on Dorchester and in the lane. The higher population density has already increased traffic, noise, garbage, and decreased our sense of neighborhood community. If this zoning variance is allowed to go ahead, our quality of life will be further reduced. Not only will our quality of life be further reduced, but I do believe that our property values will be reduced as well. And as I was talking to my wife about this, as we were discussing this presentation today, it's almost as if the city of Winnipeg wants people like us to move out of that neighborhood. This application goes ahead. And I'll be quite frank, that's straight from the heart, that one. Some other things here. I think that there's been in the discussions today, there's been some politeness in suggesting that the design is not on the table here. The design is very much on the table because, as Mr. Doby suggested, they acquired the land first and then considered what to do with it. It's interesting to me that they were able to find a cookie-cutter design from St. Boniface and plop it on this, and it just happened to fit on this piece of acquired land. This was laid out. This plan was, I believe that they had this house plan, and decided that this would fit on this piece of property and not the way it was presented by Mr. Doby. Now, having said that, and the reason that this application is before the council now is specifically for the design. If they did not want to build a four-unit condo, we wouldn't be sitting here today. If they wanted to build a single-family dwelling, they would just be going straight ahead. So the design proposal and the concept for this development is very much linked to the design, to the zoning application. They cannot be separate. So I'm just trying to get my way through all this. So in terms of even if The developer suggests that they want to, or that they would be willing to adjust the design. The issue is that once the application is approved, they've got it. And the potential exists that they could build what's on your drawing that's presented. Now, if you were to go to St. Boniface and see this little image that you've got in front of you, you would note that down the two sidewalls, which are not shown in the perspective, the building looks to be approximately 70 feet long and 30 feet high, and it is pure stucco.
What's so, the address of the building?
On the front, they actually have a little bit of brick and some, it's either wood or metal cladding. And glass.
What's the address, do you know?
Yeah, it's... the developer should know. What's the address there?
193 Forest.
Forest. H-O-R-A-C-E.
Okay.
St. Boniface.
Let's try to...
Okay.
It's been quite a while. We were supposed to limit you to 10 minutes. I don't want to cut you off at all, but if you could try to...
Wrap it up? You want me to wrap it up? Okay. So if you approve the variance, then it would allow anything to happen, and the image that's shown there is a classic example of irresponsible architectural design and project development in our city. I think that's, I guess, as far as I can go on and on, but I won't bother. Okay, sewer and water right away, yeah, that's it. Okay, so although I do have a question, and since John asked one, if you reject the RM1, do you have the opportunity to unilaterally award an R2? Or does the application have, the developer have to make a second application?
I would imagine if we went to a lower level of zoning, I'm not saying we're going to, but... We could, I believe.
Yeah.
What he's saying is if we decided we don't want the RM, but we would want to go down to an R2, we could make that decision here if we wanted to. Yeah,
yeah,
we could.
We could,
but it would, as long as it's a lower, I don't think we could go up to
dense
type of zoning, but I'm pretty sure we would not be able to.
It's just that I also wouldn't want to see you make a unilateral decision because I think it should be R1. And to go from down to an RM2 without consulting the neighborhood again, I think would be
you would not support that.
I would not support that, but I would certainly support public consultation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Public consultation.
Sorry.
I'm not chairing Councilor Gervasius.
Oh. Go ahead, Harvey. Ask your question.
You made a comment about the real estate values.
Yep.
The value of your property. How great.
I could not hazard guess on that. The reason that I say that is because in my front yard, in my backyard, as I look down towards Stafford, I see trees. And after this development, I will see, if it's as proposed, I'll see probably 10 or 20 feet of stucco wall, 30 feet high in the front yard, and the same thing in the backyard. So it takes an ambiance of green and turns it into this wall, which is one lot down from me. How much will it? I have no idea. Maybe the real estate guy would have his handle on that.
Well, we're really supposed to go through the people in order. It's really not. Maybe you could ask someone who's still coming up to make a comment. But it is a formal hearing, so we're supposed to go through each speaker. Thank you. Glenn, did you have something you wanted to jump in on?
I don't understand the gentleman's referral to FAR. It's not within the zoning bylaw. And I just also want to point floor area ratio. It would say, for instance, floor area ratio of 2. It means you have a 2,000 square foot lot, you could put a building on there that's 4,000 square feet. And if it's 0.5, it would be a 1,000 square foot building. And that's not one of the criteria for RM or RMFS. And just another point of clarification. The R1 medium minimum front yard requirement in this case is the same as for RMF,
S, which is based on existing houses,
okay,
which is 26 feet. And the minimum rear yard requirement is the same at 25 feet. The side yard requirements are similar, it's actually less for an R1M. The maximum building height is the same at 35 feet. The only other thing that distinguishes them is the maximum lot coverage of 45% for an R1M.
Okay. Thank you, Glenn. Okay, we have Bruce Hildebrand.
Good evening. Thank you for your time. My objection has to do with the appearance of the building and also parking safety issue. The building is right on the main thoroughfare. It is kind of the face of our neighborhood, and it will not represent our neighborhood very well. And so I think it doesn't do justice to our neighborhood. And again, I think it will affect property values, although I can't say how much. My guesstimate would be at least 5%. The other issue was about the parking, where the two parking lots are facing each other, and also on entering onto Stafford, if a vehicle going south on Stafford tries to turn down our back lane while another vehicle is trying to exit the back lane, they often have to slow down. There might be a bit of an impasse there. Usually the person on the back lane backs up so that the person can get off Stafford. If that person has to make a short stop, there's potential for a rear-end collision on Stafford. And with more vehicles backing into that very intersection there, I think the potential for vehicular accidents is quite high. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Bruce. Now, is there anybody else registered in opposition? I have, there's somebody else? Okay, I have one person for information, but I'm just still on opposition. Peter Eagle and Pauline Lord, do you want to speak?
Sure.
Is there anybody else who hasn't registered, hasn't been called yet in opposition? Okay. Go ahead.
All right, thank you for your time tonight. I don't really think I could put it more succinctly than John did. I don't think there's much point in rehashing everything that he has said. I'm essentially in support of all of it. I would just make one extra comment regarding the parking issues, and nobody has mentioned how grave that becomes in the winter.
Mm.
Would be just a nightmare. So it's okay in the summertime when two cars can actually pass in the laneway, but in the winter that's impossible. Anyway, we live at 951 Dorchester. Eleanor had made a reference to the house that had burned down and was rebuilt. And we agonized, that house was demolished, and we agonized over that design for a long, long time. To make sure that that would complement our neighborhood. I think that everybody in this room would agree that we did a fine job. And I stress the we. that was the natural thing to do. The fire was a terrible thing to happen, but after it was gone, we spent many, many, many hours together and the architects to make sure that we did some really, really enhance the neighborhood. And the proposed building does not do that. And even with some of the pencil drawings that were submitted to us a few days ago, again, they look like something from the Gulag with three front doors.
Okay.
So that's it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay, anyone else who wishes to speak in opposition who has not spoken yet? Okay, and I have for information, I have Lloyd Schultz. Still here? you wish, just wish to be recorded for information, or did you want to say anything? Okay, thank you. Now the applicant has the opportunity to come back up and respond to comments that have been made by those in opposition. Not a lot of fun.
No, no, never is. No, I've done more than a dozen of these now, so I've been in this chair many times. It seems that the major issues, one being the zoning density choice, parking, property value, yards and areas, and things of that nature, and appearance. Those, I think, everyone would agree, would be the major concerns of the group. Initially, with RMF or R2, we spoke with the planners and the zoning officers for that area and said, "What our goal, obviously, with our goal was to do a four-unit building on this site. What zoning makes the most sense in your eyes, and what do you agree would work for this piece of property?" And their recommendation was RMF, and based on that recommendation, which is stated in the plan, for consistency with the neighborhood, for similarities between our R1 medium and RMF. Our front yard alignment is the same as everybody else's. I know it seems to be under the misconception that this is going to hang out to the front sidewalk and be a great big stucco barrier. It is going to be addressed, the Stafford side. It's not just going to be some blank stucco canvas. Again, this is all preliminary. We are complying with the 7-foot side yard on the one side. It was only put in initially to do a 4-foot instead of a 5-foot because we weren't told until Friday that we weren't allowed. They called us up on Friday and said, "Oh, you paid for a variance that you actually can't even apply for." And I said, "Well, if you would have told us that, then this whole room would have known that we're going to do a 7-foot on that side. Now we're allowed 5 feet. We were supposed to be going for 5 feet on the other side." But we're going for 4 foot, so we're going for a minimum. We're going for a 1-foot variance. It's not like we're trying to go right to the property line. We're asking only for 2 feet in the front, from 26 to 24 feet. So it's not the 10 to 12 foot stucco thing that people are going to be looking out their yards. The city comes along, measures everybody's front yards, sees where the alignment is, and says that's where your house has to be. We build infill homes. We do things like that all the time, and that's what the regulation. That's where it goes. That's why. Obviously, the Eco 4 that we constructed on Horace, which only had to have a 15-foot front yard, is going to be a very different than the one on Stafford, which has to have a 24-foot front yard. We would have left it at 26 if the planner said that we can't give you those 2 feet. So we said, well, they said, yeah, 2 feet is acceptable, so we went for the variance. Our rear yard is meeting the requirement. It's not like we're asking for a variance to do something in the rear yard that we wouldn't be normally allowed to do, and it matches what is there for RM. If we were to tear that house down and build a new home, we could virtually build it in the exact same spot as what we're asking for right now. Just with a 2-foot, without any variances, yeah, it'd have to be 1 foot away, further away from the west side yard, and 2 feet further in from the front yard. So therefore, the argument that we're going to be taking up the huge footprint of this piece of land, we're not doing anything different than what we wanted to do if we weren't asking to build this type of building. The other concern with the green space area, one of the specific design aspects that we said, we want to give people their own exterior green space that they can have that is usable. And so what we've done is we designed a rooftop patio space on each unit, because there's almost like four townhouse style, two face front, two face back. They can go and have their own exterior space up on top. It doubles as exterior yard space and green space because we think that is important in all designs. Because I know when it comes to the lead point that we're going to lose, we actually get that back for having that space up on top of the building. And that's so, you know, we didn't go through this process trying to ignore all these things. We tried to embrace these challenges and create opportunities from them. Because improving density, and I say improving density by, I mean people have heard that as increasing density, that improves it. But it's not necessarily the truth, but in this situation with this piece of land, we feel it is. Like, the concern about property value in this location being the face of this street, well, currently the face of the street is a derelict home. It's had only two owners in it. Neither have done anything to the interior or exterior of that building for the entire time it's been there. It is beyond repair. We have engineers' reports saying the foundation is totally shot. I think anybody in this room who's seen it knows it sits like this. You put a marble on the floor in the front door, and it's to the back wall in about 5 seconds. It's in terrible shape, and I'm sure it's a very visible home. So a lot of even people who just drive it home down Stafford are aware of this site. If initially the city had said to us, we want you to do R2 there, because that's what makes sense on this piece of land, we would have done R2. But this is just what we were told by the planner's recommendation, because we trust the planners, because it's their job to look at a piece of land and say, this is what makes sense for this piece of land.
So can I just ask you a question? So if this committee said that we only want to accept R2, would you still be able to build a project there?
Do a project there that fits within? I don't know what the project would be, but we'd be able to do something there. And Glenn can answer this question, would we be able to do the building that we wanted to do there under R2?
You'd need conditional use approval.
And which would be a variance application, right?
A conditional use application.
Back here.
We would be
back. Back here, would you be just?
It could all be done at once, or that could be done separately to the board. And it could be done at any other time in the future.
But if we were to downgrade it to R2, the idea would be because you didn't want before, so you wouldn't really be wanting to do it that way.
No, because the thing is, they said to us, okay, RMF is going to cost you this much. R2 got us to the same spot and cost less money, but the city said, we were told that we don't want it to be R2, we want it to be RMF, so therefore we're going to make you spend more money to do an application because we feel that this is the right application for this spot.
But, it's the right application if you want to do four units, is what it is.
Is that?
Is it not, Glenn? The right application if you want four units.
If it's the way we view it is, if there's a rezoning needed to accommodate a proposal, it's more appropriate to rezone it to a zoning category that makes the proposal a permitted use, if that's at all possible, because that's more up front. Everybody sees what the zoning is going to be. There's no second process to try and get it to a higher density, and we don't make these recommendations on the basis of charging more.
No,
and we're charging less. It's for clarity.
Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry, we have to. Okay, go ahead. Let's just finish with the rebuttal.
The comment about being RM or RMF or R2, and we'd be back in the same, and sort of back to the same. We could have done it. There wouldn't have to be a second process, because you could do an R2 rezoning and apply for that conditional use all at the same time. It would be all the same meeting. Initially, when we came here to today, we could have been talking about an RMF application or an R2 application, but the recommendation was to go to an RMF. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we did RMF. If the recommendation was to do an R2, then do a conditional use, it wouldn't be, nothing would be hidden from the public. It would be on the same poster, 4x8 poster that was put on the piece of property. So,
if we were going to permit four, we would go with the zoning. The question is, would we want to do that?
Would we want to do four?
What the appropriate zoning is.
So I think I touched on the zoning issue. I touched on the yards, the parking issue. Parking is something that's been repeatedly brought up in this application. Even though it's not something that is, we're not supposed to be talking about parking, because it's not applied for here. We have to do a parking management plan, right? Mm-hmm. The city has to approve that parking management plan. If the city does not approve the parking management plan to, for something for a four-unit building there, then we don't get the zone, we don't get the permit, we don't get to build anything, we don't get to do anything. It doesn't matter what happens today. If it goes through and the parking management plan is not approved by the city, then that's it. You're already dead to water. So you have a piece of land where, in the end, all you can do is maybe two units on there to meet your parking requirement. If there's issue with side yards, if there's issue with parking space in the back, we have began discussions with to develop that plan. We have, Ian Eddies, who has been quoted already here, have mentioned, because they are directly behind us, they said they will lease all of their parking stalls to us during non-business hours. Now, that might not meet the requirement, but that's not what we're talking about right now. That's, again, another argument, and whether or not that should be part of the public discussion isn't for us to be talking about right now either. Then the final one is the appearance. That Dudley Thompson is a celebrated Winnipeg architect. He is the one that he did design this building. He's not here to defend his design. And I shouldn't really be trying to defend anything either, because how the building looks on the outside is not supposed to be part of this application either, is it? Are we supposed to be talking about what the outside looks like?
Actually, anyone who wants to speak in favor or opposition can say whatever they want.
They can say whatever they want, but as far as a point of argument against the proposed piece of plan, it's not relevant to what we're trying to do here.
Yeah. I think it's not what we are basing our decision. Like, if the only concern was design, we wouldn't be making a decision based on that. It's the issues here in terms of the variances, the density, and the things that are being asked for here that we need to decide about.
I agree, and I totally agree with that. And going through this process, and I've been through this process before, and speaking with neighbors and things of that nature, like, we've been successful always just putting out letters to the neighbors in the community that are going to be immediately affected and getting a response. And in this situation, we didn't get a response until 2 weeks before the meeting, and then we scrambled to get something together. And I think they view it as a weak attempt to try to slap something together, but under the time restrictions, I can't just go down to their office and say, give me something different now, turn it out, and that's...
Mm-hmm. Councilor Smith has a question.
Yeah, mine has to do with the appearance. When we talk about a cookie-cutter design, and you built this house elsewhere, and you just plop it here, that does concern me. Because you've heard everybody speak, the two issues that they were the strongest on was the density and the design. And that comes because of obviously, not thinking of the neighborhood when you put this property with this building there. It is out of character if the neighborhood is not.
If you consider the neighborhood's character to be the original homes that were constructed there, yes, it's not going to have the same look at all. But I also did say that...
I think there is... It doesn't mean it's a bad design. It means it's a bad design for this neighborhood.
Yeah, no, I'm very familiar with... The first house I ever lived at, I lived for 2 years at 1045 Dorchester. So I'm very familiar with the street. My company is very concerned with the integrity of buildings. Right now we're redeveloping one of the oldest buildings in the city at 181 Church. It's going to be registered as a historic building. We are completely revamping it. We're working with, I'm sure this must have come across your plate. It's a project we're very proud of and we're in the middle of working on right now. So our initial company's existence was renovating character. We totally rebuilt a home at 215 Harvard that a lot of people might have walked by. So I guess when we looked at this site, I would never be trying to do this project on this site 2 doors down. even next door over. But we saw it as looking at the characteristics of the homes up and down Stafford on this sort of corridor and thought, this is going to be perfect. And maybe we were being naive because we never got any phone calls or anything in opposition until 2 weeks before, and even then it was only John that notified us that there was an issue. And I know John was acting on behalf of everybody else, and that's and so maybe if John wasn't acting on their behalf, we would have gotten a dozen phone calls. But that was sort of the reality of the situation. And, you know, I called Glenn and asked Glenn, have you gotten any concerns? Relay my information to people. Let them be aware. Make sure.
Pardon me? Well, I'm just waiting. Well, you can ask the question if you want. We've heard the people in support. We've heard the people in opposition. We're now on the rebuttal. Maybe councillors have some questions, if you want to just go ahead and
Frida, fast questions, if I might.
And then we can finish up your rebuttal.
You had already purchased this property when you started talking to planning?
We purchased this property. As we went to purchase the property, we called planning right away.
Did you purchase the property and have a plan, or did you purchase the property and go to planning later? I mean, which came first?
Well, they actually came at the exact same time. Well, when we were in discussions of buying it, so I guess we had the property.
Tell you if I might, Mr. Domi, again, as I said to you earlier, the critical part is talking to the neighbors. And if you come to these city center community meetings, I'm a very strong advocate of that. And other developers have walked out of here, Corbin Niagara, 1820 Court. I mean, I could go through several. And they came to consensus with people. And that's an important part of it. Okay. So,
well, I just want to make sure you can make your comments. I just want to make sure. Do you have any other questions?
No.
Do you have any further things to add to your rebuttal?
None.
Just to respond to the things that were said by those in the opposition.
Yeah, no, I know I can't.
That's
add
what anything. We're trying to focus on.
Yeah, I can't add anything new. And
okay.
Other than to say that the design part as well is also just something that is preliminary. We had something on the table from another project. We thought, okay, let's just put up a sign and see who calls. And we've gotten lots of calls on people saying, you know, how much are they? What, you know, when are they going to be built? Blah, blah, blah. And so, well, then we can't answer. We have nothing to sell to anybody until we get past this process. That's all I can say about the design part of it, which people obviously have such an issue about. But one of my concerns is that we go through the process. We do the public stuff, come up with a general consensus, and then from what the public wants to see there, but then, you know, then nobody likes it. Like, people like what we've already come up with, the people that want to, I already have, like, if we wanted to, we could go and sell those, I could go and, you know, sell those four in like a month, because we've had that many calls about
people.
Well,
you probably could, but you have to have approval.
No. I told everybody. That's not what I'm trying to say.
No, I know. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it's popular and it would work for you,
yeah.
You know, and it would work from a developer's point of view.
Yes.
It would be saleable. Okay, anything else you want to add?
No.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay.
So, did you wish to move the...
Well, I wanted to...
She doesn't have to.
You don't have to. Okay.
My thinking at this point, and I hope I'm taking everybody into consideration here, is I move that this be adjourned to September to allow the applicant to hold community consultation. I hadn't heard, Mr. Dolby, the issues addressed that were mentioned here by so many people. Parking. Fine design isn't something that we discuss But when you have so many people commenting on it, I'd look at it. I didn't hear any comments about reducing units for zoning and density. And the safety in parking is a big issue. I'm not against development by any means. I've done everything I could to help others because I know there's a crying need for housing in River Heights Fort Garry Ward. People want to stay there. They've lived there, like so many people here, most of their lives. They want to continue living there. And it's becoming increasingly difficult and expensive. So I'm for more housing and affordable housing. But I also care about the residents' opinions. And when they come to public meetings, it's 9 o'clock, that takes a lot of effort and energy and commitment on their part. But they come and they're offering, I think, reasonable explanations. And they have to be heard. And I hope you heard. And I would strongly suggest, as I'm saying, this meeting. Speaking to the planners is always a good thing. However, more important, in my opinion, with all due respect, is speaking to your neighbors. And I would move adjournment to September, as I said. Second,
yes.
To allow the applicant to hold community consultation because, quite frankly, I can't be supportive at this point. I'd ask the developer and the residents to get together.
Okay, so that's the motion. Any further discussion on that? All those in favor? Okay, good. All those in favor, opposed, carried. And I guess that means that all three public hearings will be adjourned to that time.
And everybody will be notified by mail.
Thank you, everyone.
Adjournment is moved by?
Councilor, that's been the verdict. Would everybody...